The next topic is the narrative technique in Kuli. The popular and traditional ways of narration are the first person narrative or the autobiographical form of narration, as in Dickens' David Copperfield and Great Expectations, the third person narration, as in Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, the third person narration through a minor character as the narrator of the story, as in Raja Rao's Kantapura and Anand's The Private Life of an Indian Prince, the epistolary method of narration, the diary method, and the stream of consciousness technique. Anand, says Professor Nayak, seems to be mainly content with following the more or less conventional fictional modes of structure and narration, confining his experimentation to dialogue and style. In Kuli, he has adopted the conventional technique of narrating the story in the third person, but in Untouchable, he followed the stream of consciousness technique. The narration in Kuli is vigorous and sensitive. But Anand is quite choosy in matters of episodes. He has narrated only those episodes which show Munno's economic exploitation and poverty. In the end, the narration is brought on a tragic note. The novelist's point of view is governed in turn by artistic considerations. Consequently, the narrative is sustained and forceful. He has immediately jumped into the heart and soul of the major character Munno. He says V. S. Pritchett, a marvelous power of evoking an immensely varied life as it bubbles in front of his eyes without one losing contact with his characters. He sees through Munno's eyes, adjusts himself to Munno's life, and feels with his skin so that the narrative is sensitive and living. In the fourth chapter, the narrative has a subtle shift in the point of view. Explaining this, Saroj Kovarji says, "The careless reader, still viewing the world through Munno's eyes and relying on the tantalizing realism of the earlier chapters, is shocked, for he has failed to see the subtle shift in the technique and point of view on the author's part." Munno in Shamnagar and Daulatpur is an individual who maintains his innocence and identity, though there is evidence that these are being gradually corroded away. But once he is in Bombay, Munno becomes a part of the toiling, struggling, starving masses, and we see the world through the distorted eyes of the masses. In the Bombay chapter, the center of interest is not Munno, but the millions of suffering workers. Munno is no more than a speck in this tide of humanity, and it is precisely for this reason that the author does not conclude his tale here, but retrieves him and sends him to Shimla, where he regains his identity. The narration in Kuli is not rapid but slow. The narrator is often clogged by dwelling long on each event. The narrative details Munno's misery and suffering. It is only in the first chapter that the narration is swift. Anand's narration is free from the excessive bane of Victorian moralizing as seen in the novels of Hardy. But Hardy makes his novels more palatable by referring to nature and providence. Hardy can become an idealist But Anand is a stark realist. Anand does not intervene in the narrative as a commentator. Only a few passages in Kuli seem to be the direct statement of the novelist's creed, for example, the words put on in the mouth of Sauda. Humanism is a part and parcel of Anand's narration. As Professor Nayak says, so long as his central creed of humanism animates his narrative and is expressed in artistic terms through realized character and living situation, his purpose becomes a vitalizing artistic force, but time and again, his philosophy tends to stick out, overstepping the artistic limits of his narrative world. So Anand's narrative technique, as exhibited in Kuli, is simple, straightforward. It is without the obstacles and stumbling blocks of the stream of consciousness technique. Hence, it has no flashback, no introspection, no digression, no poetic rhapsody, no mixture of past and present. It is a glaring contrast to Raja Rao's narration in The Serpent and the Rope, which has a complex and variegated narrative technique. The mode followed by Anand in Kuli is that of a social chronicle, but with a certain dramatic effect. The narrative opens on a note of drama. It does not begin with a poetic description of the local color of the setting of the novel, nor does it begin with an old-fashioned way of introducing the protagonist as in Hardy's Far From the Madding Crowd. To quote Dr. Srinivasa Iyengar, Anand's capacity to evoke diverse places, persons, moods, scenes and situations is uncanny, as it is unlaborious, and few novels of modern India can excel its sheer amplitude and power of narration. On the basis of the above discussion, one can have a general idea of Anand's art and technique of narration. At the very onset of his career, Anand stated, "When I began to write novels about India, though I took Joy's stream of consciousness as my method, I had to apply it to a different situation revealed to me by my upbringing in a province of the British Empire. I had the hunch that man's position in the world, his relationship to the universe and to himself were important if one wanted to see the meaning of life. One could not just wish away human beings and lull oneself to calm with the music of Anna Livia Plurible. In my country, where the position of man had not emerged beyond a speck in the dust of Maya, to the potential humanness of the individual, which democracy invited, against the long suppression of feudalism, orthodoxy, and institutionalized religion, I felt that the novel should not press the inner monologue beyond a certain point, so that humanness may remain a variable factor in the situation." Finnegan's Wake, the anti-novel novelist and the abstractionist, concentrated on style and construction so emphatically as to sterilize creation. I, therefore, felt around for a synthesis of techniques between West and the inner consciousness analyzed by Sri Aurobindo, hoping that man forsaken by the gods and by other men and women, broken, decimated by the machine money war civilization, could be seen at the least in profile in the enchanted mirror, in order to illumine his awareness against materiality, dead matter lines, and suppression by society, and shown in his confrontation of fate. So Anand makes a synthesis of the East and the West, of materialism and spiritualism, of humanism and realism. In his first novel, Untouchable, Anand borrows from Joyce the modified stream of consciousness mode, simplifying it a great deal in order to realize his objective of presenting a vivid picture of both Bakha's mind and milieu. In all his later novels, with the exception of The Big Hurt, where the same experiment is repeated, however, Anand seems to be mainly content with following the more or less conventional fictional modes of structure and narration, confining his experimentation to dialogue and style. But while he does not attempt any conscious blending of Western and Oriental forms, as Raja Rao does in Kantapura, The Serpent and the Rope, and The Cat and Shakespeare, his penchant for dictatism is a trait typical of much ancient Hindu storytelling, though Anand's reformist zeal reveals, as noted earlier, Western influences at work also. The narrative technique in Kuli is over.